and welcome to My Xbox and Me, episode 460. I am one of your hosts, MC Fixer, alongside the one and only. It's a too fresh crash. Back from the dead. He's back from the dead.
I'm back from the dead, only to retire from the podcast. Oh, I'm wow. done. It's okay. over. This is my last episode. I think everybody who's been a fan, but like, I've come to the end of my road. Wow. My spirit's been absolutely shattered by a shout out to Ken Doyle. Absolutely gone. No interest in this podcast anymore. I'm done. I clearly ruined the flow of the podcast with the three of you guys. I'm like, you know.
We need you and Matt's not here.
Yeah.
That's tough. Tough, bro. That's tough. Get Ken Doyle to fill you in.
So for context, for people who don't know, there was a great discussion happening in the My Xbox and Me Discord. If you haven't joined it, you should, because you'll be getting insight onto all this dumb shit that goes on. Ken Doyle was complimenting the My Xbox and Me last two episodes, and Crash took that as last week.
Let me clarify. I knew what he meant. But My ego, my pride, you know, I just gotta defend it. Like, that's not what he meant.
No, yeah, of course. But yeah, so he said the last two episodes, meaning the main episode and MXAM Extra, which was me, Matt, and Despawn having some fantastic talks. Could be possibly top five episodes of all time.
I just want to point out,
I'd say so, yeah.
Ken Doyle had the opportunity to save my pride, even if he didn't mean it.
You're gonna lie.
He did it.
And he kicked it like a poly puppy.
So Fix asked in the Discord, and Fix prefaced it with, Crash wants to know. Like, he knew that I wanted to know, and he was like, no, fuck it. Respect to Ken Doyle for not lying, but this is my last episode of the podcast. Thank you guys so much, you know. It's been a pleasure.
You're still turning up on Saturday, though, right?
No.
Okay.
Tapped out.
Just done. Out. Okay.
Finished.
And of course, the one I Mr. Paul Despawn. Hello.
Hi there. I have my, my ego's in totally in check and intact. I am minding get destroyed by a discussion in Discord. Yet.
Did I give it see turn. The Halo cup in your hand there with coffee in?
Yeah. Well, hot chocolate.
Oh, okay. It did look like hot chocolate, but I thought I'd go with coffee. But yeah,
no, I know. It's for those who are not in the know. It is currently 7 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon. I don't think I'll be drinking coffee just at this point. And also, that's a weird looking coffee around the rim there.
I don't drink coffee. I didn't see it at a pool. You know, I didn't see I didn't get to examine this. It's CSI
Despawn. CSI MXM. But yeah, no, it is the 20th anniversary. Halo Cup to go along with the Halo 20th anniversary shirt I got as well. I almost bought like about four other things for it, which I don't know why, because I haven't played Halo in about 2 years. But hey,
because you're a mark.
That's it. Yeah, I'm a mark. Yeah,
because you're a mark. Simple as that. If you didn't know, this is My Xbox and Me, our weekly Xbox podcast, right here on youtube.com/MyXboxandMe and all podcast services. You can support us over on patreon.com/MCFixer. I'm still trying to work on the URL to have something that says My Xbox and Me. Now, let me make this perfectly clear. There's My Xbox and Me things on there. If you're not supporting, we'll explain it all again on the 12-hour stream, which is happening this Saturday, 12-hour stream over on twitch.tv/myxboxandme and youtube.com/myxboxandme. You can watch it where you like and whenever you want. We've got 12 hours of shenanigans planned, games, forfeits. We're trying to raise money, obviously, for the channel so we can do some of the goals that we have set out. We've got some really good goals, which I hope we hit. One of them might be Halo with the boys. It could be. So put your goddamn money where your mouth is, people. I ain't trying to hear this noise. So we'll see if that happens. And a bunch of other good stuff as well, to be honest with you. Anything you want to add on to that before I go off of that straight away? You guys looking forward to it?
I am very much looking forward to it. Like you said, though, like at the beginning, like I'm very excited to just sit down for 12 hours and play some games. Because it feels like it's been pretty nonstop for a while now. It's just like, well, we need to cover this game. We need to do that. We need to do this. Just being able to sit down and just chill and hang out with the community is always cool in general. But yeah, being able to just do that for 12 hours and just play a bunch of cool games. There's a couple of games on this list that I am very excited for as well.
Lethal Company.
Content warning. We
both have not played it, right?
Nope. I've been avoiding it because I don't have a squad to play it with. So yeah, this is it. Okay. This is our time.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Honestly, you know, it's given me a little bit when we used to do E3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there was a little bit of planning before E3, yep. And then it was like a big, like, I don't think it was 12-hour stretches. Was it a 12-hour stretch? Sometimes might have been. However long it was.
Depends on the day.
Because you go through, when we used to go through to the Bethesda and Sony ones.
Yeah, and we wouldn't, I don't think we'd really cut it off. Yeah,
yeah, we did all of it. So,
a little bit of those, not obviously not the same sort of thing, but just similar vibes. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Matt's dead, by the way, for those wondering. Died. Crazy what happened to him. Rest in peace. Hopefully he respawns by next Saturday. We'll see.
All right, he's just got to find his arm first. Like, what happened to his arm is wild. Like,
wild, crazy. I can't believe it. Shout out to our Patreon producer this week, Aaron Gard, as always. Topic of the show this week, we have got Watch Dogs. You know, that series that a hard group of people really enjoy. You despawned? You like it?
I love it. I love that series.
You know, you loved Watch Dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completed them all. Loved them all. The only thing I didn't do is I didn't like 100% them, but yeah, I loved that series.
Which one's your favorite?
I'm probably going to say two.
Okay, thank God. If he said one, I would have kicked him off the podcast. That game sucks.
How many Watch Dogs have there been?
Three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the latest one is the one where you can create a bunch of different characters. Right?
Yeah, and Legion.
Okay.
Chris is letting that happen. He's like, okay, we've never heard you talk about Watch Dogs ever. I don't know.
There's never been a reason to talk about it, like, until now.
Until now. Well, unfortunately for you, Despawn, it looks like Watch Dogs could be dead. Ubisoft taking Watch Dogs out the back end.
No.
Apparently, anyway, it's a rumor. This was reported on by WCCF Tech, and their headline says Watch Dogs series is dead and buried. Fairly original battle royale project has been cancelled. Again, marked with a rumor. This was spoken on Twitter by known leaker Jonathan, with a zero as the O, revealed how the series is seemingly done. Legion's commercial failure brought the cancellation of multiple projects in the series, according to a leaker, including a fairly original battle royale project. I mean, no disrespect to Watch Dogs, but doesn't surprise me in the slightest. We did also have that rumor that came out about Ubisoft a while ago, right? Them canceling a bunch of projects that wasn't considered AAA. Not that Watch Dogs wasn't a AAA game, because it definitely was, but it clearly didn't bring in AAA money.
Yep.
Watch Dogs for me is a weird series, right? Because I remember playing the first one, and I liked elements of what was there, but I didn't like the packaging. I think Aiden was an absolute terrible character, with no personality at all. Then you play 2, they've improved on it a little bit more. Obviously, that one's based in San Francisco. So you had a lot of the gaming influences in America, like the game infused. They were very high on that game, I remember, because it was in their backyard and they had the apples to oranges comparisons while they were walking around.
I remember
listening to Kind of Funny talk about it a load and being like, oh, it's really, they enjoyed the space. And then I think the same can be said again about Legion, which was obviously based in London. And then they tried something different with the being able to play every character. You could play any person in the entire world.
I think that for me was what the downfall of it was, because like I loved the characters in the second one, well, especially the NPCs that you played alongside, but when it came to the third one, it very much felt like it lost that identity, because it was like everyone can be the main character, meaning that no one was really a main character, and it just didn't kind of have that same like landing for me.
I think it definitely, I enjoyed the concept of what was there, if I'm honest. I didn't enjoy the execution. I think it's really cool to be able to play as any person in the world, right? They all have their own unique stats and, you know, what they do and stuff like that. Not stats as in like numbers, but like I'm the mechanic and I'm the this and I'm the that, so
I'm a granny with a taser.
Yeah, exactly. Attributes is probably the better word than stats. Go on, Crash.
I think conceptually it was like really interesting. Just the way it's like, oh, you have to go and find out people because you're trying to not overthrow, but like government's corrupt, et cetera, et cetera. And so it speaks very accurately in a sense of like, you need to get everybody, whatever. It's hard to tell a story when there is no main character, I feel like, because I remember playing it and just like, why am I doing all of this? I get like the big why, it's just sort of the more personal why that just isn't there, unfortunately, with that game.
Yeah. But ultimately that game did seem like it crashed and burned pretty quick, as we've seen a multitude of Ubisoft titles that has happened to. So this doesn't come as a surprise to me. I don't think that they've killed off Watch Dogs as a whole. I think a bunch of projects were probably cancelled, and they're probably looking at how they can repackage it in a new way. I don't think it's dead forever, and I don't think it will be gone forever. I think it has enough of a... The concept there is enough to make a good game out of it. They just have to make the good game. I still think of the three games, two's the best game, and even that was only good. And that's as far as, in my opinion, that's as far as they've gotten with Watch Dogs. They've never got great. They've never got excellent. You know, they've done a bunch of interesting things around the series, but you try and put all those things together, it doesn't come together as a great or fantastic game yet, ever. If they can figure that part out, I think there's a chance. Again, I do think Ubisoft are one of these companies that do go back to their IPs usually. Look at Prince of Persia, that went away for a really long time. Obviously, it's come back in a new way. I'm not saying we're going to see a big AAA Watch Dogs again.
Yeah.
I just don't know. But I think we will see Watch Dogs again at some point.
It could be like 15 years before we see it again. It could be like a very, very long time. Because we've taken a lot of time with Splinter Cell. We've taken a lot of time with other, like Prince of Persia is another one where it's like they will put their stuff away for a very long time, let it become more nostalgic, Beyond Good and Evil 2, and then bring it back and be like, hey, we're going to maybe reinvent it a little bit. We'll see. Because we haven't seen like Splinter Cell come to fruition or Beyond Good and Evil 2 and stuff like that. So we'll see where they go with it. But I do think it's a smart idea, because I think even if they were to release a good Watch Dogs at this point, if the next game they release is Watch Dogs, it's 10 out of 10. I think there's enough. I've played Watch Dogs. I don't like Watch Dogs. I'm not going to buy it regardless of how good it is. But I do think the franchise needs to probably go away for a little bit.
Yeah, you think, like you say, give it that kind of like, get it out of people's mindset a little bit, just to give them like chance. So when it does come back around again, people are like, oh, I remember hearing about that game series. Let's check it out. And then, maybe, like you say, maybe when they do come back with it, it is a good concept and it does work and it hits all the buttons that they need to hit for a new AAA game. Or even they just go for a whole, like a game with the Prince of Persia, they go for a different kind of vibe with it and try a different kind of like genre. A little bit. I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah, not only that though, we're all in agreement, right? That and Battle Royale would have been awful.
Yeah.
In Watch Dogs form.
Yeah. They had a multiplayer in, I want to say they had a multiplayer in 2.
I think so.
Which wasn't great.
Hunt people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it wasn't fantastic.
Did they have it in 1?
I think they did, but it wasn't great. I think it was basically people just kept invading your world. I turned that off straight away.
Exactly what happened. Yeah,
I just turned that off.
I think Watch Dogs VR could be interesting. The problem is I don't think it would ever be successful, because I don't think that genre, if you're not the most basic genre of like, I'm a shooter, you're not going to really be super successful in VR, because we've had a lot of creative VR games. Like, what's the one where you basically play Avatar in the VR game? I'm forgetting the name of it, where you like control elements and stuff like this. I forget what it's called.
I know what you mean. I can't remember it with the name. It's basically you control elemental magic in a VR.
Yeah.
It
was a great game. Mm-hmm. It didn't have the legs to go. And now people are like, oh, the Fortnite update where they do add the Avatar stuff. People are like, this is amazing. They should just make this the whole game. And people are like, that game existed a while ago. And you guys don't like it.
I can't remember the name of it, but I know what you meant.
When you look at, when you look at Ubisoft now, what is the thing you think of? Like, if we talk about their main IPs now, because I think that's what they're going to double down and focus on now. I don't think we're going to see some of the titles they have published lately that just haven't been hits. Like, if you had to pick a franchise what would be the one that comes to mind instantly when you think UB? I assume it's Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know that's going to keep coming.
Yeah. Second Tom Clancy games.
Tom Clancy's 2.
That's too broad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rainbow's Tom Clancy, Splinter Cell's Tom Clancy, what's it called? What's the game you made me buy, Fix?
What?
The game you made me buy, what's it called? Wildlands.
But this is what I want to say. Like, I think that's what we're going to see them focus on. Assassin's Creed, Rainbow Six, Far Cry, The Division, mm-hmm. Ghost Recon. Yeah. I think they'll keep the crew in some way, shape, or form because they like having a racing game. I think those franchises, I think once Beyond Good and Evil 2 comes out and doesn't do well, you're never going to hear about that franchise again. Mm-hmm. I'm so interested to see, like, what you think about it. Skull and Bones, come and gone now.
So Ubisoft has been building up their subscription service, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
If their subscription service picks up enough, do you think there's a possibility that they go back to some of those franchises in a lesser capacity just to sort of have that where we talk about this is a good Game Pass game, it's a good game to keep people subscribed. Do you think there's a possibility they would do that?
I don't think the subscription service is going to get there.
That's fair.
And the only reason why I say that is because I don't think they're able to put new games in there. As every month is why Xbox is successful.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you have a month in your head that you go, whether you're on a month by month basis, like you have that month where you go, oh, but that got added this month. Let me try that out. And then the lapse goes. You're like, oh, well, it's done. Then the next month comes around. And it's like, oh, thank God I have this because I just got these games.
Yeah. yeah.
Like Ubisoft Plus doesn't have that because it doesn't have a month to month basis of things. I do think if you are someone like me, I'm a Ubisoft fan, I love Ubisoft games, Ubisoft Plus is for you. Like, that's what you want. It's a case of, like, you get all the new DLCs, you get this, you get that, you get the emblems, you get the currencies, you get the, like, it's definitely worth having it. But I think for it to get to what you're talking about, no, I just don't think it'll get there in that regard. It needs more content on a regular basis. Game content, by the way, is what I mean, on a regular basis. And yeah, I think they're gonna shut the doors and shore up and be like, okay, what's working? Okay, this is what we're doing for the next 5 to 10 years. I think gaming as a whole, by the way, is gonna get like this for a little while now.
Oh no, 100%. I think
we've already seen it. Sorry, please.
No, I'm gonna say, yeah, we've definitely seen it. We've seen, obviously, we talk about it enough times now with all the redundancies and stuff. It definitely feels like people are like pulling back, like, well, publishers and developers are pulling back because they just want to work on those surefire hits. And honestly, this is what Ubisoft are going to be doing. They're going to be like taking, like you say, those tentpole franchises. They know work, Assassin's Creed, Rainbow Six, etc. That those are the kind of things that we'll be able to make money off. And then maybe we do the things like we talked about it last week with the new Prince of Persia game. Like, they'll take those smaller opportunities to do something interesting, but
low risk though.
Yeah, right? That's what
in
I mean.
The grand scheme of things, it's low risk.
Low risk, great reward when it plays off. And if it doesn't pay off because it's such, like you say, a low risk, it's not going to be too much of an issue for them. Because again, with the giving it to a third party developer who could be like, okay, this is our IP, look after it. But if you don't, again, it's going to come back and look bad on you a little bit rather than it us, because they're not the one putting all that time and effort into making it. I'm sad to see Watch Dogs go. I think it had a really cool concept. I think it just never got never got running.
Yeah, cool concepts don't get you anywhere in life, unfortunately. Concepts are great. You know what's better? The games that are great, not concepts that are great.
I also like their reveal for Watch Dogs did the game such a disservice to the original, and the way they showed that game and here's how good it looks, here's all this stuff you could do when the game comes out, and it sort of just leaves a bad taste even when you do end up making a good game in people's mouths, where they're like, I don't really know if I'm rocking with this, because they already have an image of what the game should be, and the sequel doesn't even live up to sort of the presentation of the reveal for that game.
Kind of feels like that's been UB problem for a little while now, right? Like, I feel like that's again, doesn't help when quadruple A game and things like that is like, it's one of those ones where you just, I get it from like certain points, from a business point of view, I do get it sometimes. Like, you've got to stand firm behind your games. And if you believe that they're a good game and a lot of hard work's gone into it and stuff like that, you have to stand there and say that. But like, I don't know, UB as of late have been, for me, by the way, UB of late has been great. Like, not even just the work that I've done with them, just the games. Like, I enjoyed 80% of the games they put out.
Yeah.
In some aspect, including Skull and Bones. Yeah. And that's not a game that I should have liked at all.
Skull and Bones, Riders Republic,
yep.
Crew Motorfest.
Yep.
All of them good games.
I think the problem with Ubisoft is they're putting out good games, but Ubisoft at one point were trendsetters in gaming.
That's true.
They're no longer trendsetters.
Yeah.
And I think that they sort of need to refine that in some degree or somewhere. Because I think Ubisoft has the IPs to be one of, they are one of the biggest companies in gaming.
Absolutely.
But like, be regarded because in the way normal gamers talk about them, right? Because the casual gamers, they're huge with casuals in a lot of regards. Assassin's Creed, Riders Republic. I don't know how Riders Republic is with casual games, but a lot of those games. Riders,
but you're probably looking at your Assassin's Creed, your Rainbow Six, because it catches that COD audience for people who want a more one shoot, one bullet kill type game, which we don't really associate with that with casuals, but Rainbow definitely has a casual audience 100%.
So easy to pick up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the crew for people who want like that. Just go on the shelf and pick up an arcadey racing game. The crew is a perfect game for that. I get what you're saying, Crash. I do really get what you're saying. But yeah, I think the Watchdog thing is just, when you're not successful, and when you're not really successful in three games, I think it's time to put you on the shelf and relax a little.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, yeah. All right, moving on, boys. Let's get into this week's dashboard. Embracer Group, you know, that company we all love. They're about. And Embracer Group announces its intent to transform into three standalone publicly listed entities, the NASDAQ Stockholm. I don't know what that is, but... the board of directors of Embracer Group announced a transformation step for value creation through a separation of the groups into three market and leading games and example companies. So Despawn, you're gonna have to take over with the names for these, because I butchered them trying to think about it. So it's Asmodee
Group, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle Earth Enterprise and Friends.
Which are the three titles which will be separated. We spoke about this a little bit in my stream when you told me about the news. So let's dive in deep in it. What do you think is the number one reason why Embracer Group, that are hated by amongst devs of the industry, commentators of the industry, and the industry as a whole, has decided to change the name of their company? So what do you think?
It's branding and shareholder market share, right? That's 100% what it is. If anyone sees the name Embracer, like, oh crap, not these guys again. But now there's like, they're trying to get away from that massively. Go on, Crash.
Are they still technically one big company?
Yeah. But
nothing's...
Yes and no. So basically, I think there will be... They are splitting into three. You were asking what it is. It's NASDAQ, which is basically the... buy your shares and whatever in Stockholm.
Got it. Okay.
And it's basically, the idea is they're going to split them off into three, create separate shares for every single company, and then float them separately. They also got a £90 million loan, which was used to clear off some of their debts, because obviously we saw that there was that massive $2 billion rumored sale that fell through, and they've been recovering from that since. I read through their entire thing that they posted. Not one mention of it was about the studios themselves. It was all about shareholders this, shareholders that. This is very much a money-making scheme to A, get value for the shareholders, which is a business. I get that. But B, I think it's also a way for them to be like, okay, well, we'll put this company over here. We'll move them over there. We'll move them over there. And if they do badly, that's fine because we're still getting the market share from this company over here. This is fine. And it's very much a case of just like segregating them so that A, it looks good for them because they get rid of the Embracer name completely. From what I understand, that name is now no longer going to be a thing. Just basically, yeah, market share.
Interesting.
I don't know how I feel about a company called Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. I'm going to be honest with you.
The names are so bad.
Anything and Friends for like a... Don't get me wrong, I'm someone who's done Fix and Friends, right, as a podcast. Mm. But like... That would have been my publicly shared company name, slap it on the wall as you walk into the building type thing. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Coffee stain in front of the end friends.
Yeah. Coffee stain in front. That's not what I'd like. Again, yeah. NASDAQ, the stock market, is the word I was looking for. Would you float a company on the stock market called Coffee Stain and Friends?
No.
Well, that's why you're not in big business because, you know, Embracer know what they're doing, right?
So each of these different groups are handling different portions of the game. So you've got Asmode, who are doing a global leading tabletop game publisher and distribution with an external studio network and IP catalog. Net sales of about 14.8 billion adjusted EBIT. I don't know what any of that means. I'm not even going to try and read it. Coffee Stain and Friends is a diverse gaming entity with a dual focus on indie and A to AA premium and free to play games for PC/console and mobile with a higher degree of reoccurring revenues. And then you have Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, a creative powerhouse in AAA development and publishing for PC and consoles, as well as stewards for Lord of the Rings, Tomb Raider, intellectual properties, among many others.
Yeah.
So that is kind of how it breaks down. You've got Middle Earth and Enterprises and Friends, AAA, Coffee Stain and Friends, AA to A, and then you have Asmodee,
yeah.
Thank you, Asmodee, which is the tabletop game publisher and distribution and external studio.
If you're looking at the Embracer thing, like if you go further down, it gives you like a proper breakdown. So Asmodee are working on, like you said, the board games and stuff like that. So for anyone who's a big board game fan, Tickets to Ride, Seven Wonders, Catan, Exploding Kittens. Did not know they owned that. Did not know that was Embracer. They also do licensed tabletop games for Lord of the Rings, Marvel, Game of Thrones, Netflix, Lego, and Star Wars, including the trading card game Star Wars Unlimited. Then you've got Coffee Stain and Friends, which is basically like indie games and THQ Nordic.
Yeah.
Deep Rock Galactic, Goat Simulator, Satisfactory, Wreckfest, that kind of stuff. Valheim as well. Again, did not know Valheim was an Embracer game. But at this point, I'm surprised we're not an Embracer game.
Yeah, but you got to think, the amount of IP that they own now, why would you? Unless they slap it in front of you with like Embracer, obviously they definitely won't be doing that. Carry on.
And then, yeah, obviously Middle Earth Enterprise and Friends. So bad. Such a bad name. He's obviously all of the Middle Earth games, a lot of rings and stuff like that. But they're also going to include Crystal Dynamics, Dam Buster, Eidos Montreal, Flying Wild Hog Studios, Vertigo, Tripwire, like a bunch of games. So game-wise, Dead Island, Killing Floor, Kingdom of the Deliverance, Metro, Tomb Raider. It's also going to include PlayOn, for anyone who's familiar with them. And then Dark Horse, which is a comic subsidiary, but they also do games linked into them as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard one, right? Because we hate Embracer, but they own some of the IPs that we care about, right?
That's why we hate them, though, because it's a messy
situation.
You would hope that the best thing to come out of this, and who knows if this will be the case, but you would hope that now you won't see random people getting fired and they'll be like, this is where we're bleeding money. This is where, you know, some adjustments need to be get made.
Yeah, sure, Chris.
Okay.
I'm just looking for the most hopeful situation. That's probably not going to happen.
To be honest, I mean, while it sounds like a dumb negative thing to say, like that actually might be an outcome of this. Like, because again, like you say, like if we see Coffee Stain and Friends just making gangbusters profits, yet Middle Earth Enterprise and Friends are hemorrhaging money, then hopefully those Indian AA titles aren't going to be affected by that. Because again, they are going to be technically, well, they, in all essence, they're going to be separate companies now at this point with the same shareholders.
Separate companies in air quotes, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Separate. Yes.
Separate companies like MC Fixer and My Xbox and me are separate companies.
They're yeah, not. Sure.
No. I have to pay tax on both of them, so. Anyway. I haven't really got much else to say on this. Obviously, interesting. I think the main reason I wanted to talk about this, and I'm glad you added it, is to keep people in the know. Because if you don't want to support Embracer Group, you now need to understand that you don't want to support Asmodee Group, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle-earth Enterprise and Friends. Those are the companies you now don't want to support if you don't want to support Embracer. Just so you're aware, that's not me telling you not to support them, because I don't think you should not support it, because there's a lot of hardworking people in there. But just so you're aware, those are the companies to look out for now. Next up, IGN and IDEA Xbox are working together on a digital showcase, which will be returning April 29th, 2024. Sorry, I don't know why I was erring there so much. Last year, you got a first look at games like Axiom Verge 2, Sea of Stars, and many others. This was showing the first IGN and IDEA Xbox digital showcase. They're doing it again. It's happening April 29th, which isn't too far from now. What day does that fall on?
It falls on a Tuesday. No, it doesn't. It falls on a Monday. No, it doesn't.
Monday. Yeah, well, we'll be reacting to this. So come check us out over on the My Xbox and Me Twitch and YouTube channel if you want to watch along. I will be. I don't know if the boys can, but I will definitely be there watching it. So come on by and see what is going on. The show will feature games such as Dungeons and Hinterberg, 33 Immortals, Lost Record, Bloom and Rage, and many others. So yeah, could be some Game of the Year contenders in this, to be honest with you, out there for the indie game. So yeah,
I remember I just remember getting very excited about 33 Immortals when that got shown at the last thing we saw them at. So that's the basically the Hades one? No, 33 Immortals is the top down Hades like with 33 people.
Yeah 33 plaque.
Yes. Okay, I recall. Okay.
Could be good. Next up, third-party Meta headsets are now in the works, including an Xbox-branded device. Despawn, talk to me about this, because I didn't even read the story. What's going on?
Basically, what's happening is Facebook or Meta at this point now, they are getting... They're not going to be the only people making these headsets. So they're opening it up. So they're basically releasing the operating system. And other hardware manufacturers can make their own headsets based on that operating system. They have also announced that they are working on a branded version of the Meta Quest 3 with Xbox branding.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah,
Xbox is going into VR now, right?
I was joking. It does make me want to hold off on getting a Meta Quest 3, though, until the Xbox One comes out. I'll say that.
Fair.
But no, this is... The only reason I'm talking about this is because I'm waiting for a question to come up on it otherwise. Like, no, it's not interested. This isn't that crazy, if we're being honest.
No. I think this is Xbox's way of just kind of brand awareness. Like, you can play Game Pass on the Meta Quest kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Game Pass is everywhere. That's the messaging there.
That's the messaging. I think I did see there was a talk about it on a post from the lizard himself, Mark Zuckerberg, that he was talking...
Why is he a lizard?
Oh, he's totally not human, right? Have you seen him? You seen him move? The man does not move like he's a human.
You've never heard this, the people...
He's a lizard.
It's mostly a meme.
It's a meme. But he's a lizard.
He's a lizard.
But yeah, the talk about, like we were saying, like hardware manufacturers can do what they want with the hardware now, as long as it obviously hits the base level. And there was talk maybe we look at doing a bundle where you get a Quest and you get an Xbox gamepad, which you can link to your Quest and play your Game Pass games in there.
So
everything you can do now then.
Yeah, but now they're actually bundled in.
You can use a controller on the Quest right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So literally nothing different.
No.
No. Okay.
Just Bluetooth connect it and it's done.
Cool.
It feels great.
It feels awful.
I'm sure this.
No, it doesn't. Oh, on the Quest 3, it doesn't.
On the Quest 2, it doesn't feel great. I'll be honest.
Quest 3 is fantastic. Big old massive TV, controller. Love it.
But you got the headset on.
Yeah.
That's not a massive TV.
So I mean, it looks like a massive TV. What are you doing?
The one thing I'll say is I didn't have any input lag. It did lag a few moments, but that wasn't because of, I think it's because of the internet. I'll be honest, just xCloud being xCloud.
Yeah.
Which
still in beta.
Still don't like. But that's neither here nor there. But was going to say, all right, let's move on to the last couple of stories we have here. Helldivers 2 in talks to come to Xbox. Rumor. Huge rumor. I don't know if I believe it, but we're going to talk about it because we didn't have much news this week. On the latest episode of the Xbox Era podcast, notable insider, how the hell do I say this name?
Special.
Thank you. Special underscore Nick. It's spelled different than what we thought, from what I would read as, claims that he's heard very, very early preliminary discussions about the possibility of Helldivers 2 coming to Xbox, with the new intern CEO, Hiroki Toki, recently taking charge of Sony Interactive. I think I nailed that.
I think you did.
You did, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. I love how both of you are sitting there like, yeah, good fix, you did it.
Yeah. I was just looking at the name going, where's it going to go wrong? Where's it going to go horribly wrong? Stuck the landing.
Anyway, suggests that the PlayStation exec may be a little bit more open to experimenting with aggressively multiple strategies, although Nick states that it would make sense for Sony to put this on PlayStation. Sorry, this is his opinion at this point. Personally, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think, though I do think there's obviously a new exec in charge over at Sony. I do think we will see them. Obviously, I don't know if you guys saw it, but they've put trophies now on PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I did not.
Yeah. So now
was it Ghost of Tsushima?
Ghost of Tsushima, I think, is being the first game that will have it. I imagine they'll do updates for the other PC games that they've already put out eventually.
That's happening,
you would have thought. Don't get me wrong, I see them definitely having a wider approach to PC, maybe even Nintendo, and maybe Sony, and maybe Xbox in small forms, but Xbox are third in place. So going to Xbox, I don't think is that big a deal anymore. Like, if I'm honest, like, I just don't know if they're gonna make enough money to do enough work for it.
I think at some point you'll get Helldivers at Xbox. I don't think it'll be anytime soon. I think it'll probably be somewhat of a similar time lapse as Sea of Thieves is the game. To PlayStation. Yeah, I was thinking Sea of Stars. I was thinking so many Sea of games. So a similar schedule as that, where it's like 10 years later or however long later the game reaches as many people as it can on the platforms it's on. You want to reach a few more people, you release it on Xbox, and who knows where the demographic for Xbox will be at the time when that would happen, right?
Where do you think it'll be?
I got no opinions on the future. Can't read the future.
No, a serious question. Like, obviously I had my meltdown and we've moved beyond that, and obviously we're back where we are, but where do you see Xbox right now? Like, generally, like, obviously we know what's coming, a lot of what's coming now in terms of what they've got in development for a lot of their studios, and then hardware wise we're still where we are. Obviously the PlayStation 5 Pro has been rumored immensely, so you got to imagine that's real. Like, where do, where, like, generally, we can start with Despawn if you want, Chris, but where do you see it going, like, in the future?
I don't think it'll be that different from right now, to be honest. I think there'll be a bigger presence on streaming, and where Xbox is will depend how big streaming becomes. If streaming games skyrockets and it becomes the most popular way to play games, I think Xbox will be number one at that point, because I think they will have the best infrastructure. I think they'll have the best deals because they are in third place. They have to have good deals to stay relevant to a degree. I think Xbox could have shitty deals and they'd still be somewhat relevant just because they're Xbox. But I do think that it'll keep them in the conversation, and if streaming becomes big, Xbox is at the front. They'd have to fumble it pretty poorly to not be number one if streaming becomes the main way to play games, which we've done this podcast for how long. That's 100% a possibility for Xbox to fumble the lead that they have in streaming.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, you're right. You got to remember, Sony own TVs, right? Like, it's not like Sony don't have TVs. So as soon as streaming becomes a big player, you're going to see built in PlayStation in quotes on every Sony TV that exists. So
I'll be honest, I'm surprised we've not seen that already with because they've got their streaming
service. Why literally what you just did was the exact reason why I don't think Sony want to do what Xbox are doing right now, where they go
beta test it.
It's okay. I think they want to be able to come out and be like, we now have streaming on our TVs, buy our TVs to get a built-in PlayStation in some form, and it works.
Right now,
I don't care what Matt says, I don't care what you say, I don't care what anyone says, it doesn't work right now. I have good internet, and my TV still can't stream games. I said to Hayley the other day, actually, I think my biggest regret so far is buying that TV. That Samsung TV, it was just like, how the fuck did I do this? Even like the UI and stuff is slow on it. I'm like, God, maybe it's just the TV that sucks.
Maybe it's the TV.
TVs... People love smart TVs. Smart TVs ain't that magical. I've got to
say, my LG is fucking phenomenal.
How long have you had it?
Years now. You got to think. I had it back at the old house, like the annex.
Every smart TV I've ever used, go into it like 2-3 years later, it's just horrible.
That's how it feels with this Samsung. I'm not going to lie to you. This Samsung.
Got it.
Sucks. I did go into Curry's the other day though and see their new, they've got a new Samsung. They're promoting it all with Fortnite. I can't anyway, but like it's too big for my bed. Like my bed can only hold a 32-inch, which sucks.
I have that problem too.
Blah blah blah. Yeah, what a big problem to have in my, it only holds a 32-inch. I know how I sound right now, guys. Please stop. I did see the new Samsung TV and I was like, oh, this looks a lot better than what I fucking got in this bedroom.
Yeah, that.
but the one I've got, I just think it's shit, honestly. I shouldn't have went with a cheaper option, I think is where I'm at with my TV. I went with the, which I did say to Hayley, I did say to Hayley, that was like, we could just move that into the office and buy a new TV for the bed. And then she was like, don't do
it. No.
But who knows? Who knows? What the fuck was we talking about?
Helldivers coming to Xbox.
Helldivers, where like, Xbox will be. I was talking about streaming. You talked about TV. Yeah.
I think I agree with you in terms of like Xbox will be exactly where they're at right now. I reckon if Xbox came out with every game getting a 10 out of 10 from here moving forward, they still wouldn't change the perception online amongst hardcores.
Yeah, more people would like them and they'd be more popular. It wouldn't change their positioning. Unless Sony, like, literally, and again, these companies, they if you followed any of them for long enough, they've dropped the ball at some point drastically. Nintendo.
£600 PS3, yeah, what?
Yeah, anything's possible.
What's Nintendo done? Apart from the Wii U, I guess you're
going to
say.
The Wii U.
If you go back to the GameCube wasn't like immensely popular. Like retrospectively, people love the GameCube.
I agree.
At the time.
I agree.
You know.
Why is my console gonna handle? What's going on?
I loved it. I loved it.
My favorite part.
Like if you look at it and compare it to like console designs, like it was weird, but it worked. Where you look at like
it was that. it was the shape of the discs as well. Yeah. Just like, yo, this is so different. This is why I want this.
Yeah.
It felt like the future, you know?
Yeah. My favorite part was the, you could change the thing on the lid.
The circle on top.
Yeah.
Did you have the Resident Evil one?
No, I had the Metroid Prime one.
I had the Resident Evil 4 one.
Nice.
Which is now worth money, which really pisses me off because I ain't going no more. But yeah, let's move on. Helldivers, not, I don't think so. No, sorry.
I'd like to see it. But, oh, yeah.
Absolutely, but no. Last but not least, EGX dates have been announced. If you don't know what EGX is, it's kind of like our version of like PAX if you're over in the US. EGX has been announced. It is coming to London for 3 days, 25th till the 27th of October. I think if I'm in the country, which the plan is to be, so, you know, come to EGX. I'd love to do a meetup and just walk the show floor and stuff like that. Chris, you fancy a trip to London?
Yeah. I'll be there next bus.
Barcelona,
25th to the 27th. Yeah, I'll find a bus.
I'll find a bus.
I'll get there. I'll find a bus to London.
Okay.
I'm not making no promises. Obviously. Trips cost money. Saying, I'll see.
You are 100% coming, yeah?
I'm 100% coming. The first bus out there to London, yeah. I'm on.
The first flying car that exists, I'm on it to London.
Next week, what's his name? Owns Tesla. What's his name? He's going to announce flying cars. Elon Musk is going to announce flying cars.
Yeah, yeah.
My face just going to drop dead like, oh shit. Oh,
the Cybertruck, now with wings.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to be at EGX, hopefully. As long as JoJo don't beat me up from the community, because she wants to go to Japan in October. Price difference a little bit different between either going to Japan or going to EGX. But yeah, I'd like to do a community meetup there, like a big community meetup for my Xbox and me and MC Fixer communities. So yeah, if you're from England and you are planning on going to a convention, go to EGX, let's meet up, let's have fun, and let's have a good time, because it'll be fun. It's where me and Despawn first met.
Yeah, it's fantastic as well. I love it. EGX is amazing.
It can be. Pretty sure.
Depends on what you make of it.
Where did you first meet Matt? Would that have been a funny meetup?
Yep.
Okay. EGX?
Yeah, EGX would have been where you met.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of funny meetup is where I met Matt.
Yeah, not for pizza in New York. No. Not jealous.
No. All right, moving on. Let's get into Guess That Game, Crash.
Okay, so Guess That Game, for people who don't know, is the game show where I, who is the host this week, am going to pick a game. The boys will take turns asking questions, yes or no questions. I will answer to what I believe the answer is right. I have a Wikipedia in front of me. That'll be where I'll get most of the answers. Sometimes the boys like to ask off-kilter questions, and I will do my best to answer as accurately as I can. Fix, what are the scores?
Do we have to talk about them?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, fine. Crash is currently sitting at top of the leaderboard with 6 points. You have Matt, who's currently sitting on 2. Despawn in second place, currently sitting on 4. And myself sitting on 3. Matt not here this week again, hence why he always is bottom of the leaderboard. Mm-hmm. But it's not like there's that much in it, let's be totally honest. Crash, I'm ready to go when you are.
Let me just do this
real quick. I'm thinking... Forget that. Despawn.
Hi.
What?
Don't be stupid.
Okay.
That's what.
Do you remember last week?
Oh. How long do you guys have to ask questions again?
A minute. No, 90 seconds. 1:30. Yeah.
Okay. I got a good one this week. So you guys.
Oh, God.
You guys. We're gonna go fix Despawn. Okay. 3, 2.
Is it Xbox 360?
Yes.
Is it exclusive?
No.
Is it a fighting game?
Nope.
Is it an RPG?
Nope.
Is it one of the big 5 publishers?
Yes.
Now to narrow it down. Is it Ubisoft?
Nope.
Is it EA?
Yes.
Is it a licensed IP?
No.
Is it a sports title?
Nope.
Is it a first-person shooter?
Nope.
Is it a god game?
A god game?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a god game.
A god game like The Sims?
Oh, no.
Okay. Is it single player only?
On launch, single player, yes.
On launch, okay. Single player. Yeah. Okay.
I'll give you guys a little nugget there.
Try to get a genre, I guess. Is it action game?
Action, yeah.
Okay. Is it... Do you play as a male protagonist?
Yes.
Oh, is it... I don't want to ask that. Is it... Does it have a unique system?
What do you mean? Like, unique system? Such a shit question. That's a horrible question. What does that mean? You guys are out of time. What does unique system mean? Yes. What do you want to get from that? Yes, it has a unique system. Every game has a unique system. What are you on, Fix?
So just to
elaborate. Elaborate.
No, wait. Just to go back to the beginning, Fix. Don't be dumb.
Please, Fix. I need it, like, for my own sanity. I need to know.
I need you to elaborate.
I'll tell you after I guess.
Okay.
All right. Let me just, before we make our guesses, let's just recap. So it is an Xbox 360 EA action game, we said, that didn't launch with multiplayer, but now has multiplayer. Male protagonist, but I'm going to say that you weren't too sure about that, but were you 100% sure about that?
Cool. I don't owe you any more answers.
Okay. What else did we have on there as well?
I'm ready to go.
Was it? And it had a unique system. Okay. It has a unique system. And it's not a licensed IP.
I hope you get it, Fix. I really hope you get it.
I hope he does too.
The unique system question got you it.
Come on, I think I've got the wrong publisher.
That's
what
tough.
I was thinking.
All right, boys.
Oh. Go on, this one. You have to go first.
That's going to be hard because my mind's gone blank.
All I know is that Fix said that he has it.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know.
I expect so. Fix to have an answer first.
Wait, is Fix looking it up on his phone? What the hell?
No, I brought up the title. I brought up a photo of the title that I was gonna show. Come on, Despawn.
I've got nothing.
Always go first.
I know, but when I say I've got nothing, I mean I've got nothing. My mind has gone completely blank. I can't think of a game that had single player and then went multiplayer after.
You guys got 10 seconds left.
Nor can I.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go with this.
We
said not RPG, right?
You said no to RPG.
It's over. Answers. Fix. You had something. You had like three answers and you've thrown them
and
away.
None of them are EA, apparently.
Whatever your last one was.
I was thinking Shadow of Mordor.
Okay.
But that's not EA.
UB, isn't it? Oh, is it Warner? Yeah, Warner. Sorry. I'm going to just chuck out...
anything. I don't think you're going to get it. Anything.
No, my mind's gone. Pass. Minecraft,
so
there you go.
What was the second one you were thinking, Fix?
That wasn't an RPG. Dragon Age is what I was going to go with.
No.
That's clearly an RPG.
That's an RPG, yeah.
Dante's Inferno.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was never getting that. Fucking, is it a god game? I see why you were like, wait.
Yeah, once I said that, you're like,
the opposite.
That's not what I meant. I was like, oh shit, I gave it away.
Yeah. No. Oh, jeez, Dante's Inferno. God damn.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Once you said, is it the big three? I was like, maybe big five or whatever. I was like, maybe
big
he gets
five,
it off
yeah,
of this.
No, yeah, definitely.
You guys got EA really EA? Early. You guys got genre, but then you guys didn't really.
Didn't really go from there. No.
Is it unique mechanics? I will say your questioning was like so much better this week.
Thanks.
It was a lot
better.
The time
goes so quick, man.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know how you've got six of these. Because it goes so fucking quick.
Just look at questions.
I'll be 100% honest with you.
You probably wouldn't have. Fuck off, would you have?
Action adventure? Action game? With what you guys asked, no.
What would you have asked?
Yeah, what would you have asked?
Don't ask me. Ask me what I would have asked when I'm asking questions.
Yeah.
Now when I hold all the power, it's easy to say what I would have asked. I would have asked, is it Dante's Inferno? And you would have said yes.
That's true. I might have lied.
I'm curious if anybody from the community got that.
Yeah. Last night in the Discord if you did or if you did not. All right, let's jump into Fixer's Sack. Remember, you can email them myxboxandmepodcast@gmail.com. We got one new email. I don't know if you've got all the questions, by the way, from the Discord, so if you can get them up, that would be helpful. But this one comes from Steezy, who says, "Hello! Yes, I gave you a 5-star review on Apple while Fix was in Vegas recently. It was on the pod, but because of my generic, egocentric, Fix was not the focus of my review. He was unamused. Typical but the nerve of this guy. Does becoming a video game content creator dull the shine of playing games for a living, or is it a big dream job? Side question, what is the best place to make a single monetary contribution to My Xbox and Me?" Okay, well, the first one, we'll go with the first bit first. We've all been content creators in our own different ways and shapes. Me probably the most full-time out of the three of us, I'd say. Does it take away the shine of... No, I don't think so. I think I still wake up every day knowing that I live a dream job, ultimately, right?
You repeat the question.
Yeah, of course I can. The question is, does becoming a video game content creator dull the shine of playing video games for a living, or is it still a dream job?
I think it can dull the experience of playing video games for a living.
Yeah, there's not the playing them for a living, but playing them in general. Like, there's definitely been moments where I will be making content on a video game, and the last thing I want to do is pick up a controller after. But
I'm not even thinking that. I'm thinking if you stream, you look at that view counter once, and you're like, "Oh, I don't really feel like playing this game right now, doing this right now." I lump that all as one experience.
Okay.
I think it's different, right? Because what about if you're a content creator who doesn't have to look at the viewers, right? So sure. I think it's hard, right? Like, yes, there are moments when being a content creator sucks, but it's never because of the game. It's never because of the games that make the job suck, ever. If the job was wake up, play video games, and then that was it, right? Is a large portion of what we do, like what content creators do.
Go on. I think you're viewing it in the vice versa. I think you're viewing it at, does content creation ruin my experience with game? Or not, do games ruin my experience with content creation? It's the opposite. Content creation can ruin your experience of games.
Yes, it can. It can, I guess, is the answer. Yes, it can. But only because when it comes down to just streaming, right? Like when I was at my peak of COVID, when I was just waking up every day and fucking smashing out Call of Duty, and then we jump on whatever game we want, and we're at hundreds of subs for like a couple of months. You think you're on cloud nine, bro? You're waking up every day. You've got money in the bank, so you're not worried stressing about that part, which is obviously a large part of being a content creator. It's a struggle in that way. And then you also go and think about the other stuff. I get what you're saying. Yeah, I guess, yes, it does dull it down because you don't get to just experience games in the way that the listener who's listening to this. I say this all the time about like a Dragon right now, right? Some people probably listen to this podcast and go, how is this guy not beat Like a Dragon? He got the code early. He also got to he also gets to play games for a living. It's like, because I don't. I get to play Like a Dragon for maybe 3 hours on stream, and then that's it. And then because I've got to play roleplay before that, and then I'm not in the mood at 6 o'clock at night after I finish podcasting. After I finish doing this, I don't think about video games after this. because I've just done 8 hours of streaming, then 2 hours of podcasting, then, you know, lucky enough, Despawn might upload it, or I might upload it, or like whatever, we go from there, we're still doing other stuff. So yeah, it does dull it down, but I think there's, I don't want it to sound like it's, I don't know, I don't know how to explain it without it like,
it doesn't drain the love for it.
No,
that's what I think.
Yeah, I think personally for me, it's not a case of it draining the love for it. I think it's a case of having you. Technically, you do need the energy. It's hard not to disassociate playing video games with creating content sometimes. For me, I think it's very hard to just like get a game. You're like, cool, I'm excited to play this game and I'm just going to play it. I'm not going to do a review. I'm not going to stream it. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Like for me, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth was kind of like that. I know we were trying to rush to get to the end of it so we could talk about it, but I didn't stream more than a couple of hours of it. I only did the beginning and then I just played it on my own time. Whereas on the flip side of that, Infinite Wealth, I got it early and I put every single hour I could into playing that game so that I could get a review out in time. And while that didn't like sully my enjoyment of the game, because if you'd have seen the review, you'd have seen what score I gave it. Go check it out on the YouTube channel. But yeah, it was very hard to like just take my time and enjoy those moments a little bit. And it's like, it's very rare that you get that as a content creator to just be able to like take your time, because it is a very fast churning business. Like in essence,
sucks.
Yeah, you've got to be on the next big thing straight away, pretty much. Unless you are doubling down on a niche in what you do. If you are like us, where we do a lot of variety stuff covering Xbox, in general, like we have to be covering the next big Xbox game or the next big thing in Game Pass or whatever it is, it makes it very hard to be like, all right, we're going to take our time on this. We can't spend like 6 months playing through a single player or a big open world action game because, you know, we just don't have the time.
Also, like as far as streaming goes, I don't know, you both might have a different experience with this, but for me, sometimes it was like, I don't want to be streaming this game right now. But then when I'm playing it off of stream, it's like, I'll get to a moment that was really good and I have a really good reaction. I was like, oh, that would have been perfect to like,
hence
for a stream
reason,
moment.
And the whole reason why I haven't played Final Fantasy since.
Yeah. And
I
it's just sort
I'm
of
fine with, but Final Fantasy, I'm like, I even said to this one, I was like, is there going to be a moment? And you're like, yes. And I'm like, well, all right, well then I've got to wait because I've done 30 hours of the game on stream. I can't then just do the last 10 hours off stream. I don't know. It's a hard question, man, because I think if I said to 99% of people, I think it's a hard question in general, because I think if you said to 99% of people, do I play games for a living, they would say yes, right? But then they don't see a lot of the other stuff that comes with it. Like, the podcast is the most fun we have doing content around gaming.
Yeah.
Because it is ultimately, I sit down with friends talking about video games and sharing opinions, right? Like, it's the other stuff, Despawn with reviews, me with streaming, Chris with streaming. Like, that is the stuff that, like, can become quite tedious and boring and tiresome. I think the thing that allows a content creator to be the best content creator is freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way you get freedom is if you make lots of money. And, you know, that's why I think you see some of my favorite content creators out there, right? Like, I think if you look at, like, Easy Allies, like, you see them, they post reviews 2-3 months later. But because they have such a strong community and they make enough money, obviously, to cover salaries and things like that, right? They're like, we're going to do things at our pace and you guys care about our opinions still, so we're still going to put out this content. And I really do look at them and go, yeah, man, I like the way you do this, because it doesn't feel like you're putting pressure on it. Don't get me wrong, they get through games at their own pace, but it doesn't feel rushed.
Mm-hmm. They're not trying to hit the algorithm.
No,
they're doing
exactly.
It for the love of the games.
Yeah.
Which I think is ideally where my Xbox and me would be at some point, right?
Yeah. That's what we would want.
That's the dream, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a... Yeah, it's hard because we all get pulled in different directions as well. And like I say, we're all at very different levels, right? You've got to look at Matt. Matt's at the most professional level of video game
industry. Well,
it
wasn't until he died. But yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously, until he lost that arm. It was crazy.
Wild.
But like, Matt's at the top of that, working for big game company, and he's the boss, and you know, it then has the trickle down effect. And I'm probably the next level with being a full-time independent content creator where I go through months of working for a Ubisoft or, you know, doing a sponsor stream for 2K or whatever, whatever. Then it all dries up and you're like, okay, back to normal. And then you've got to ride that flow. And then obviously I'd say Despawn's underneath that, who's at the editing level, who wants to be a full-time editor. And then Crash is obviously comes in waves of like how he wants to make content and where he wants to make content. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're right, Crash. I think I'm looking at it from the opposite direction. Yes, it does dull it, but not in a, not for me, it doesn't dull it in a negative way. It's just I have to be more thoughtful with the way I play games, which is the worst part, right? That's the worst part of the job of like, all I want to do today, and I've had that for the last 3 weeks, right? Of like, all I want to do is play Yakuza Like a Dragon and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That's it. That's all I want to do. But I want to do it sat on a sofa, laid back, with snacks around me, playing it on my 55-inch TV.
Yeah.
Don't want to do it sat in this chair with a camera and lights on, boiling hot, you know, got to make sure the lighting's correct. Then I've got to overreact to certain things so it's big moments and so I can then clip it, so then make a video. So then, you know, it's different. It's just...
There's a lot of logistics that go into having fun on stream. And creating content, and I think it's very hard to be in the moment in a game and enjoy it when you're thinking of the five different things that you need to worry about that have got to work while you're doing
not
that.
Even just that though, right? I think the most horrible part is right now I'm playing Yakuza Like a Dragon, right?
Mm-hmm.
At its peak it was averaging thousands upon thousands of viewers. Now the top viewer streamer has about 50 viewers on Yakuza Like a Dragon, right? So realistically the ceiling for that is so much more limiting, but I'm still loving the game. It's still probably my game of the year, but there's a business element of that, of like, I could be playing role play right now, which would get me exponentially more numbers view wise which then could potentially end up in subs, which could potentially then mean more money. So it all becomes that. It's a really highly nuanced question, which you probably didn't think it would be, but it really is. So yeah, it's one of those ones. And then to answer your second question on like where you could do a single donation, what I would say is come along to the 12-hour stream, sign up on Patreon for 1 month. Literally, then remember, set an alarm to cancel it. I mean, that right now is going to be the biggest contribution, or the other options you have are donating via Twitch or donating via... YouTube, I've got their membership as well, donations, super chats. Yeah. So those are the places you can do it. There's links on our Discord, there's links on the Twitch channel, there's links on the YouTube channel of where you can donate if you want to. But yeah, never no pressure. Obviously, we just want to make good content and we appreciate you. I hope you know that half the time I'm joking around about my ego. I don't really have that big of an ego. Right, Crash?
What was that?
Moving on. Despawn, next question, what we got?
From the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Toplift 91.
Sure.
Yeah. Given the mass layoffs, cancellation of projects, ever-increasing budgets of games, and console sales slowing/stagnating, do you think the next generation of consoles could potentially be the last we see of traditional home consoles, and how do you think the future of gaming will take shape?
We almost touched on this a little bit.
We did a little bit, yeah.
No, I don't think it will be the last console generation.
No.
I think you will always... Do you see that vinyl player behind Despawn? Still exists. You know why it still exists? Because there's a market for it. And I think that's still going to be the exact same thing for game consoles. Whether or not it's done in a much more limited run of PlayStations or Xbox or Nintendos. I think I will still buy a Nintendo console every year that they release a console because they will always have Mario Party. And as long as they have Mario Party, I will always buy a Nintendo console till the day that I die. Simple as. Like, I don't care if I could stream Mario Party on a TV. No. I enjoy having game consoles. I enjoy having a unit where you walk into my house and go like this unit of slides. And one, we call it the adult side and the nerd side. Because one side is like our TV box and, you know, books. And the other side is my game consoles. So nice. Like when we've got people over who are nerds, I put it that side. Because I'm like, hey, look, I have a PlayStation and all this stuff. Like, look at my controllers on show and my headset. And then when they've got adults in the house, we put it the other side. And we're like, yeah, that's a TV box. Don't worry about what's on the other side. But yeah, I don't think they'll ever go away. Because I think the more limited you do it, the more it will cost. Because we'll understand that it's a limited time thing as well. And yeah, I just don't think it will ever go away. I don't. Not in my lifetime. I generally believe that. I think the majority of players will play via streaming and things like that. But I think someone like me and Crash and probably Despawn, if there's even that 10% of drop off, and that goes for millions upon billions and millions and millions of people, right? Like, even if it has that 10% of, like, I can get a better graphical facility, we do it now with PCs, like, and like, oh, Xbox can get 30 solid frames, or oh, PlayStation can get 30 solid frames. All right, shit, we're gonna play over there then. Like,
games are so tech intensive that for the future of games to be streaming, and you have to understand, like, the progression of games and where games have gone. If you look at the PS3 generation to the current generation, it's night and day. And if you expect those continued progressions to change, at some point you need physical hardware to get that next kick. You need that next graphics card, and streaming always limits you to some regard because they have to bottleneck it so that they can stream it to you, right?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah. I would say yes and no. So we've not talked about it on here, but I was watching somewhere else where there was talking about someone had actually invented a way to transfer a butt ton of data through existing fiber networks that would possibly revolutionize how we deal with the internet. We're talking like terabytes of data in minutes, if that. So if the infrastructure catches up, like, I could see that being a massive change, but that's reliant on, I mean, we're going to get slightly political a little bit right now. That relies on governments and businesses wanting to invest in that kind of future. I could see it happening in the business side. Like, I could definitely see businesses wanting that faster connection, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But until that becomes wholesale and just the default for everyone, I don't see us moving away from physical hardware.
From my understanding, the change isn't even that drastic. It's a pretty simple, like, fix to get faster internet. I just don't think any internet service providers are going to do that for free for people. It'll be like, here's this crazy premium now so you can get the 10 terabytes per second or whatever.
Yeah, but it's going to cost you £200 a month. It's like,
would that really change this landscape if they do that? Probably
I mean, it would for me, because I'd be paying £200 a month.
I was going to say, it'll start at £200 a month is the thing. And then I think it'll slowly,
be like limits
surely,
and stuff.
It will come down, right? Like,
yeah.
I remember, like,
fiber.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what I was about to say. Like, fiber. Like, fiber's now affordable. It wasn't always affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how it works in America.
I was just going to say, the difference with fiber is fiber actually had to, like, they had to put in fiber lines.
As far
as I'm aware, with the what Despawn's talking about, it wouldn't require new lines being put in, if I'm not mistaken.
No, take it up existing lines. But
I still think these companies are still going to pretend that, like...
No. I think there's some cases where they won't even pretend. It's like, you want this faster internet? Here's the price. I don't think they're going to give an explanation.
People
just do it if they need it.
But to answer Totler's question, will this be the last generation? No, I could definitely see 100% there's going to be a next generation of consoles.
Well, it's not the next generation, right? It's not the next generation being the last.
With the next, no, again, no. I think while there's a market for physical hardware, if the next generation becomes all digital only, I could see that expediting it. But
here's the important thing.
Go.
When you're talking about generations of home consoles, there's a possibility that Sony and PlayStation won't have a home console at some point. They'll be all digital. Nintendo's always going to sell you a home console.
I agree.
No matter what they do, you're going to get a home console with Nintendo. So technically, I don't see, unless Nintendo goes bankrupt, I don't see any point where the traditional home consoles go away. Because I do think Nintendo will always be around to some degree.
You say that, but I could see them getting on the bandwagon, but like always, they'll get there too. Generations
Switch
too
is
late.
On the bandwagon.
No, I see
the
a
Switch
more
is a
hybrid.
The Switch is a handheld, but it's also a home console.
Yeah,
I think they will always have that home the dock or whatever with it, and it will be sold as such. It will be sold as a home console that can do these other things.
I 100% agree with you. I think I see us move into a more hybrid world than I do a just solo no console or solo console. I see a world in which maybe the one after, or the one after that, who knows, is the tablet. Like, I think Nintendo is ahead of the game with this tablet game. I generally do. But I think the hardware will catch up, or they'll put enough money into it where, kind of like the Steam Deck, right? But like, you can get more out of it by a lot more than what you currently get.
Yeah,
that's so all you really need, right?
Yeah, the Steam Deck very much is like, it's got its limitations, but it could play like, I guess, like, I don't know what the percentage is, but there's a high percentage of Steam games that you could play in the Steam Deck, but there are limitations. But
yeah,
two or three cycles down the line, will that be the case anymore? Because like you said earlier, like, it's diminishing returns on performance. Like, do you really need more than 4K 60?
I don't know. I haven't seen 8K 60 yet.
Yeah, true. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think, when we get like 4K,
I think we just need a solid 60 at this point.
Here's,
yeah,
I have a better question. Do you need more than 1440p 60?
Honestly, no.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Nah.
Yeah, but you do. 4K. 4K is...
You don't. You want it. You don't need it. But my point is, like...
Then technically, I don't need more than 720p.
I agree that there will always be that need for an increase.
Okay.
So the market will create the need for the increase.
Oh yeah, okay.
Companies will sell like that need. Like, you need the 8K 60, you need the 16K 60, or whatever else we'll go with it. Is more so what I'm saying. I'm not like,
I get you,
disputing you on that.
I think
I get you.
Yeah, it depends on how dystopian society gets. Like, when we get to the point where we're fighting over tin cans and you know, selling stuff for bottle caps, maybe we won't be worried about 8K TVs anymore.
Everything can't come back to Fallout, bro.
Yes, it can. It's great.
No. You know how I said I would binge Fallout?
You started
watching it? You haven't watched a single episode, have you?
I haven't watched a single episode. I was going to watch it yesterday, and I sat down to watch it, and I was like, got to binge it till tomorrow. And then I was like, Matt's not on the podcast
Don't go in with that mindset, bro. Just watch an episode.
I will.
I don't think you'll ever watch it otherwise. Like, just watch a episode and then go, do I like this, yes or no? I think generally from the first episode, you'll know instantly if you like it or not.
I'd agree.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode was a great benchmark for the rest of the season.
What I will say is that there was some people who did, we spoke about potentially doing a spoiler cast, and there was a lot of people who were interested in that. Mm-hmm. I will say that. Again, I'll put it out there one more time. Let us know maybe on the 12-hour stream. Let us know in the Discord. Let us know in the emails. Let us know in the questions. Let us know on Twitter. If that is something you want to see, tell us, and we will consider doing it. But if there is no demand for it, we're not going to make something that we don't think people are going to be interested in, you know? So we go from there. Rose.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Oh, we had a gigantic freeze there.
Discord
I think it was
threw
Discord.
A wobbler.
It was Discord. It wasn't us. Yeah. All right, go on, Chris. Do you want to take this last question?
Sure. This is from Snidge 7122. He asked, what are your thoughts regarding people wanting innovation in games and complaining about things such as the Ubisoft open world? Ubisoft do something different with Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which is a great game, but has disappointing sales. We complain about innovation, yet still buy COD, Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, etc.
What are your thoughts on
I think the problem is gamers, like hardcore like us, the people who make podcasts and things like that, we want to see all these unique like games because we play the majority of the games. We try and cover as much as possible. So we see those trends where it's like, oh, we got 12 games all doing the same thing. Cool. I want something new. The majority of actual, like your general gamers play 3 or 4 games a year. You play your CODs, you play your FIFA, you play your Assassin's Creed. They're kind of happy with that.
You can take the biggest game in any year and there's probably some mobile game, be it Candy Crush or whatever is popping that year, and it's bigger than whatever your favorite game is that year.
Oh, absolutely. Like
if we're talking about sales.
By a mile.
So I think in that perspective, like maybe there's a little bit of dissonance there. Because in the way the question's asked, you're including the casual market, which does love its Call of Duties. It does love, but they're not playing any other games. There's a huge market for games that is outside of the casuals that the casuals won't necessarily like super be into. And I think that's where the innovation is wanted. So if you include all aspects of gaming, like the most popular gaming that you'll games that you'll see most podcasts and stuff like talking about usually aren't the most popular games.
My opinion is I'm kind of in agreement with people, though. I've said this for a while now, right? Other than Baldur's Gate, which I do truly believe was a step in next generation direction for me, against I'd never experienced a game like that. I do think I would like to see more happen in gaming, but I also think every time a game company tries to do something more, it doesn't get supported by the audience. A little bit like content creation, right? Like,
yeah,
you try and do something different, and 9 times out of 10, it gets 10 views because people want the Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. People want the My Xbox and Me podcast. They don't want the MXAM Extra.
What?
Because that's not the same. It is. It's exactly the same, but it's not the same, right? So yeah, people go, well, I don't care about that. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. I want the thing that I know. Same with content creators. Why is it that content creators who play the exact same game over and over and over and over and over again get a big audience, but people with variety streamers struggle to find an audience, even on the top levels, right? Because ultimately, people want consistency. And that's the same thing with gaming right now. I just don't think... I think you have to make those little increment changes, which I think Ubisoft does. Like, I know I'm like, people are going to be like, you're a Ubisoft fanboy, and I am a little bit. But like... I do think like the Assassin's Creed does change every year. It has its staples of climb this and look at this and blah, 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 blah. But it has other mechanics that do change, but we just don't notice them to the same degree, you know? But like people like us, we do, because we go, oh, that's different this year. Oh, that's different this year. But those little things are not enough for some people, because they're like, well, this game's been in development for 5 years, and this is what you come up with. It's like, well, no, we know what works. We know what people want. We know what people have been buying for the last 15 to 20 years. Why on earth are we then going to go, and I guess we'll see with these new Assassin's Creed titles, right? Because there's so many of them which we got announced.
Mm-hmm.
We'll really see them change, hopefully, and I hope they do really well. I really hope every single game that comes out does well, but there's a reason why game companies don't change. The reason why GTA is still going to be GTA, and the reason why we even talk about like GTA 6, everyone's like, oh, it's not going to be as good as like what people are expecting. It's like, no, of course it fucking isn't. Because ultimately, your expectations are going to be so fucking high for this game that they're never going to be able to live up for it. Same me mainly. Like, I'm there with it, right? Like, GTA 5 is one of my favorite games of all time. So all they need to do really, improve on the shooting, improve on the driving, and give me a world, the sandboxy like role play that I play currently, and I'm gonna be like, oh, this game company on God's even earth. Like, it's not gonna take a lot for me, but there's gonna be so many casuals and other people like, oh, same as GTA 5. Like, <Yeah. laughs> they're going to, like, so, and yeah, you're still gonna buy it. It's still gonna be able to sell $1 billion in one day, and it's still like, we want the same, but we want different.
Yeah, I think. Go, Crush.
I don't think, like, as much as people say they want innovation, I don't think people want innovation. I think they want improvements. And great. I don't think those are one in one. No. I think you can look at game. There are games that are very innovative that aren't super fun to play, or are fun to play for like 2 hours and then you're done with the innovation. And it's like, that's all there was. There wasn't.
Watch Dogs.
Yeah, you want something that just fundamentally works on every level, and sometimes that doesn't have innovation. Sometimes it is just clean game design from A to Z, right? From beginning to end, it's just really, really well done game design, really well game pacing, story, all that stuff. And in some cases, like a shorter 3-4 hour experience can have a very innovative game, and it can sort of launch on that aspect and be really good and successful to a degree. Ultimately, what people really want is an improved and better game. And as much as people will talk about Ubisoft, like you said, Fix, Assassin's Creed is still a huge franchise. As much as there are people like me who are like, I don't like Assassin's Creed anymore. They, you know, it's the Ubisoft open world formula, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Assassin's Creed still does amazing. A lot of Ubisoft titles that have that formula still do really, really good.
Yeah. I think for me, innovation is risky for a game developer. And there's going to be a lot less risk taken nowadays. Because again, we talk about it already, like the 4K, 60, 8K, blah, blah, blah conversation is very much like people want the biggest, shiniest thing. And to be able to give you that on a consistent basis, you can't take risks with your games that much anymore. Like, if you truly want innovation, get into indie games. Like, that's where you're going to find that innovation. Like, as Crash says, like, you'll get the improvements from your AAA titles, but like, if you want like actual innovation, you're going to get it from smaller titles that don't have that overhead, like, massive publisher risk anymore.
I agree with you, but that's not what people are talking about, right? They're not talking about the indie titles, they're talking about the AAAs. That's what they want. They want the, you know, we haven't seen a game that competes with GTA since GTA 5.
Yeah.
Like, that same world, like, world building stuff like that. Like companies just gave up. Like, it feels like that nowadays. Well, like, don't get me wrong, you've got a couple of game studios out there that do things that are, like, really cool, but
it's really hard to put to be innovative on a genre on your first entrance. Okay. And that would be the same thing with GTA. If you look at Souls games, I think if Matt was here, you could probably attest to it. Most games that are Souls-like that come out, they're not great. And then you occasionally will get a Lies of P that feels like, oh, this is fresh, it's good, it plays well, et cetera, et cetera. That's not most cases with most games that are trying to be innovative on a genre by chasing that genre, right?
We're about to find out with Black Myth, right? Like, that's their first title. We're about to find out if that is up there as one of the most anticipated games. But we are all people, the gamers who are going to play that game, are going to hold a magnifying glass to that game and go, okay, do you change Souls games forever?
Yeah, and you also have the negative side of that, of like, as much as people want innovation, the people who play those games, it happened with Lies of P, there were a lot of discussions of like, it doesn't do this as good as Souls. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do, even though it's just doing something different, it's made in a, it's talked about in a comparative form, which I think people don't know what they want.
If they do the same, oh, they're just doing Souls.
Yeah.
So you can't win. Like, again, Ubisoft, I think Star Wars Outlaws is going to be an interesting case, to be honest with you, because I think it's an IP we haven't seen Ubisoft work on, which is going to be cool and fun, I hope. Minus the, you know, the Battle Pass fiasco right now. I'm interested, are they going to do the go to this point and scan area? I don't think they are. I hope I'm wrong. I don't hope I'm wrong. I hope they do it in a different way.
Yeah.
Because that's always my thing with, like, Ubisoft games, right? Like, I have no problem with the fill out your map, but they tried something different with Avatar, and even that, it still didn't hit, really. Mm. You know? So, that's probably the last Ubi game I didn't love.
Yeah, I struggled with that one.
Yeah, that's probably the last one I didn't love. I didn't get far in that at all. I found traversing that world really challenging, to be honest with you.
Too colourful.
Not enough clarity. That stuff, yeah. No, I think you're technically right, yeah. Like, I couldn't... Running through... I don't know what... Whole different conversation. Who the hell cares? but yeah, no, gamers love to complain, you know? They love to complain, but they love to buy COD. They love to complain, but they love to buy Assassin's Creed. They love to complain, but they love to buy Far Cry. People shit all over Far Cry so much. Far Cry gets so much hate. Like, I don't understand it. For what it is, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't try to be something that it's not.
Yeah.
But that's not good enough, because it didn't do something different. It's like... The title on the front of the game says Far Cry. It doesn't say something else. It says Far Cry.
I also want to point out, even when talking about Call of Duty, Call of Duty's been innovative within its own genre.
Of course.
And people have shat on it when it does. When it went too futuristic, people were like, we don't like this Call of Duty. Go back to what Call of Duty was, right?
And then they went to World War II, and it was like, oh, no, we don't want to go over this. Go back to your modern one. And it's just like, make up your mind.
You go back to modern, and then there's a problem. Oh, mover's not quick enough.
Yeah.
Oh, you're catering to a casual audience. Oh, that's not good. It's like, bro, you can never win.
Yeah.
You can never win. We all, and that's with us as well, by the way, when I say they can never win, like, it's the same for us. We have opinions, and we are very critical, and we complain and stuff like that.
Slide cancelling isn't that important.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's an interesting question. Thank you for asking it. Let's plug, and get ourselves out of here, boy, shall we? Fresh, start us off.
This Saturday, 12-hour stream starts 10 a.m. GMT?
Nah, BST, by the way, mate. 12 p.m. BST.
12 p.m. BST. There we go.
What time is that in New York?
7 a.m. EST in New York, and then 4 a.m. PST in the West Coast of America.
We didn't really think about you PST people, did we? Let's be honest. Sorry about that.
But luckily, we're live for 12 hours.
They can catch up later, you know?
That's true. They'll be in there later. They'll be in there later. Yeah. Yeah, Despawn, what you got to plug?
Shockingly, I'm also going to plug the 12-hour stream. Come and check it out on YouTube and Twitch / my Xbox and me. We have, I keep looking at the list of things we've got to do as forfeits, and I'm just, oh God. You come punish us for the best reason possible. That's all I'm going to say.
Come punish us so we can make better content for you.
There you go.
I think it leads into that last question quite a lot, right? We want to try and do different things, but we can't do it without support. And ultimately, that's what this is. 12-hour stream obviously happening on Saturday. Come through if you've watched it straight away or listened to it straight away. 12 p.m. BST. Come through, show love. If you have a Twitch account, come show some love. If you've got a YouTube account, come show some love. If you are someone who has listened to this podcast now for 460 weeks, we've never missed a week. I've never, ever, ever had an ad in this podcast. I've been offered shaving ads. I've been offered a bunch of stuff. I've never put ads in this podcast. We've not really asked for money from you guys ever, apart from like supporting on the Patreon. Now is the time we need your support. I am asking you. If I've entertained you for all this time and you've been like, oh yeah, this is your version of buying me a coffee. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for the world. I'm asking for a coffee from you so you can help some of our dreams and goals come true. Please come through, show some love. It would mean the world to us. Matt's not really dead, but he did actually lose an arm. Until next time, we will love you, leave you, and see you all later. Good boys.